You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is D. Orlando Ledbetter. With the 212th episode of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast, everything you need to know about the Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons went down 40-39 tonight to the Dallas Cowboys in a debacle of a game. They blew a 20-point lead, 20-0 lead. They were up 29-10 at the half. They had a 15-point lead with 4:45 to go and managed to lose the game. Utter mismanagement, defense, porous play, 12 men on the field penalty. It was just a total failure of putting together a good football game. We're going to look at some of the issues here in the game and just some of the phenomenal numbers that came out of this game as the Falcons dropped to 0-2. And we're going to title this episode, Good Teams Don't Blow 20-Point Leads. So that's where we're at right now. The Falcons lose 40-39 on a 46-yard field goal by Greg the Leg Zuerlein at the buzzer. Another epic failure by the Falcons. Of course, you're going to bring up the 28-3 Super Bowl collapse. This was likened to it. You had a game. If you had a running game, you could run out the clock and go to victory. But your running game's no good. Averaging 3.3 a carry. Gurley held to 61 yards on 21 attempts. So when it's time to run out the game, you can't run out the game. You end up stopping the clock for the other team. So that's a familiar refrain. They built this line. They should have been able to run block. And I mean, just line up and run, get an eye formation, do something, run the clock out, and they couldn't do it. I know, Coach Smith and them used to run it out pretty good with Michael Turner, but this, they couldn't do it today. So let's look at some of the numbers. Another epic failure. Good friend Mark Bradley was sending me these stats, and I just had to go ahead and put them up online under the headline, Another Epic Failure by the Falcons. And I said, when the Falcons do it up, they do it up really big. Falcons had 39 points and 0 turnovers in their loss to the Cowboys. Entering Sunday, teams were 440-0. That's right, 440-0, 440-0 when scoring 39 points with 0 turnovers since 1933. Woo! When turnovers for first track, and this is according to the Elias Sports Bureau, 440-0. Now they are 440-1. Okay, according to ESPN Sports and Information, teams were 1,875-6 when leading by 15 or more points in the final 5 minutes of regulation over the past 20 seasons. The last team to overcome such a deficit was the New Orleans Saints against the Washington Football Club in 2017. So that's just epic failure. On all kinds of levels. So let's look at, we'll go over some of the game notes here. First road loss of the year. Offense put up 380 total net yards and 4 touchdowns. 29 points in the first half, or the most scored by in the first half by Atlanta since week 17 of 2016 when they dropped 35 on the Saints. Also, the 29 first half points or the most scored in the first half on the road since the 35 against San Francisco in week 5 of the 2009 season. Falcons won the turnover battle 3-0, knocking some fumbles out of there. They're going to have to knock a couple more if they're going to win. The Falcons won a time of possession. It really didn't matter because they let them come down and score two quick touchdowns in the third quarter to let them get back in the game. Matt Ryan was 24-36 for 237, four touchdowns, zero interceptions, 126.3 passer rating. Falcons wasted this performance. He has 11 career touchdowns, 11 career games with at least four touchdowns, the most in franchise history. And Sunday marked the 42nd time, the 42nd career game with at least three touchdown passes, surpassing Fran Tarkenton, 41, Georgia Bulldog, for the 10th most such games in NFL history. Kind of like whoop-de-doo. blow the lead like this. But good for Matt. Calvin really had a good game. 7 for 109, two touchdowns. He had 130 and 2 in week one, becoming the first player with at least 100 yards receiving and two touchdowns in each of his team's first two games since Pro Football Hall of Famer Marvin Harrison in 1999. Of course, y'all know I compare Ridley to him a lot. Ridley joined wide receiver Andre Rison, former Falcon. I covered him when he was in Green Bay, as the only player to accomplish the feat in franchise history. And it's just his 31st game. He tied Julio Jones as the fastest to reach 20 career touchdowns in franchise history. Russell Gage was looking pretty good. Ran hard, had a drop early. 46 yards, 6 catches, 46 yards, first touchdown of the year. Julio only had 2 catches. They're hiding that hamstring injury. He clearly was affected by it. He said he was affected by it on the drop touchdown play. He couldn't, explode and tried to grab the ball wrong. That's the way that one went. Back here, let me get back on track. Franchise record, he's tied with Roddy with 808, but playing through a bad hamstring. Might just need to sit him down for a week. Hayden Hurst had a career high 5 catches for 72 and a touchdown. His first with the Falcons. That was on that nice throwback play that the Falcons used to run under Kyle Shanahan, but it looked a little slower with Levine Toilolo than it did with Hayden Hurst. He got the ball and got going there. Demonte Casey had a team-high 8 tackles. Man, he got low on he had the hole on Zeke Elliott, but he didn't get low enough. And that was a bad look. He got ran over. Foyer Olukon, 6 tackles, career-high 3 forced fumbles. You know, he had been talking about creating some fumbles, so he went out and did that today before leaving the game with a injured hamstring. Came the first player to force at least 3 fumbles in a single quarter since Packers DN Vonnie Holiday in week 16 of 2002. I wasn't there in 2002, but I was there when Vonnie got drafted. Dante Fowler had 2 tackles and a half sack. Grady Jarrett, 5 tackles, 1 solo and a fumble recovery. Young Way Cool connected on all 4 of his field goals, 42, 27, 41, and 32, and made 3 extra points. Since joining the Falcons in 2019, Cool is tied with Vikings kicker Dan Bailey, with 4 for the most games with at least 4 field goals. So those are some highlights coming out of game. Highlights, low lights, whatever you want to call it. But also, Matt Ryan is in uncharted waters. First time in his career, the Falcons have started this season 0-2. And let's do the 0-2 stats. From 2002 to 2020, 149 teams started this season 0-2. According to ProFootballReference.com, 2002 is the last time the league expanded the playoffs. The average finish of those teams is 6-10. So the odds are, saying the Falcons are the average of 6-10. A total of 16 of the 149 teams, 10.7%, made the playoffs and just won. The New York Giants in 07 went on to win the Super Bowl. So whatever one of 149 is, that's what the Falcons' percentage is of winning the Super Bowl. So the best of the 0-2 teams went 12-4 twice. The most recent team was the Carolina Panthers in 2013. Two teams went 0-16, of course, Detroit, and then the Browns in 17. So that's what that's the 0-2 mark. The last time the Falcons went 0-2 was in 07 under Bobby Petrino, and that team went on to go 3-13. So that's where they're at. They're 0-2. We got Matt Ryan talking about that on there on AJC.com. And, you know, he's never been 0-2, so he doesn't know what to do about it. Just said, hey, you know, the basic, we're going to look ahead to Chicago. That's what we need to focus on type of deal. Okay, so that's those are some of the numbers and some of the reasons coming out of that game. Let me see if we get you a little audio here. You know, you want to go to AJC.com. We're going to have you some Julio Jones and what he had to say here after the game.
And then we show it today. We're still positive, very positive team. But, you know, it sucks when you lose the way we lost today. But at the end of the day, we're not going to let it define who we are. We just got to keep getting better. As you can see, we have all the potential with all upside for our team. Both sides of the ball, we just got to put everything together.
How much was your hamstring bothering you?
You know, it's football, right? So everybody have nagging injuries here and there, you know. But it's nothing that I can't handle.
What was the confusion with the front-line guys on the onside kick not attacking and going after the ball? What did it look like from your point of view on the field?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You know, it's just more so some things that, you know, we just got to go over that situation and just, you know, learn from it, right? It's, at the end of the day, we just got to learn that, you know, we got to attack that ball and things like that. I mean, it's nobody to blame. It's all of us. It's just, like I said, the communication and understanding, like, what we need to do in those situations.
A year ago, Julio, when things were going south, you stood up and spoke to the team about coming together. Do you feel you need to say something to that effect right now and not get too distracted over the way you lost and this 0-2 start to the year?
Oh, not at all. I mean, we have a very positive team. Guys come out here, and, I mean, they play for one another. And, I mean, they play the ass off. You know, we just didn't finish the way we wanted to finish. We didn't execute what we wanted to execute later on in the game, you know. But at the end of the day, that's on us. We got to control that and just do better next time.
In practice, when it comes to that type of onside kick, is there a rule or a situation where you guys can kind of gradually, slowly creep above that 10-yard line and get after it?
No, you know, at the end of the day, it's all about communication, right? For us, you know, myself, me, the ball guys, we got to be cautious if the ball get kicked over our head, front line guys, and we just got to communicate, like, if we're going to decide the front line guys are going to go attack the ball guys, let's go get it, regardless if it's at 5 yards, because they can't touch us, can't touch the ball if it's short, right? Or if it's moving that slow like that, it's like I said, end of day communication, front line guys, go get the ball, we'll cover you up. But, you know, It's a lesson in that. So we learned from it. So you got to move on.
That was Julio Jones, and I think the key point there is you know, I'm pretty sure they know the rules. Little league teams know the rules, but they had a deal where they were going. They thought it was going to be a pop up, so the front line didn't know what to do. They were supposed to go block and let Julio be able to go up and get the high ball. But instead, they watched the ball roll for 10 yards when they could have dove on it. He said, we got to attack the ball. And they know, you know, that was really hard to watch them lose a game like that. But we're gonna go to, I'm trying to pick the best one here. Really was pretty good, but I think you got to listen to the coach after a game like this. So we'll go to Coach Dan right here.
I'm sure we'll work into that as we're getting into our preparation for next week. But definitely one that stings.
Dan, what was said to the team during the timeout before the onside kick?
Yeah, I think in that space, what we try to do is if you have a timeout, you want to see if there's an overload to a side, not an overload, but, you know, a direction that you're going to see. And so that's what we did. We call that moment, hey, we're just trying to, you know, correct what we're going to see if it comes up and looked like it was a slow roller as opposed to a high bouncer. And we've got to go capture it, you know, when the moment comes. So I'll get a better view of it tonight, Zach. But from where I saw, it was a slow roller and one that we should, you know, make the aggressive move to go get it.
Yeah, as the aggressive move, how does one explain if three of the players on your team do not know they can touch the ball before 10 yards?
Well, I think they definitely know. The front three are usually blocking as they're going in. The high bouncers go to the second side. So the front line, generally on an onside kick, they're looking to get a block first. Then it goes, you know, the high hop goes to the next player. So when that instance happens and it's not one that is a high hopper, then you just transfer in and you go to your ball. But you're looking at your assignment first of who you have to go block to the ball and then your assignment. So they definitely know the rule.
Do you plan on any coaching changes immediately, especially on the special team side after today's game?
No.
Any explanation from the referees on the Michael Gallup catch inside the 10-yard line? Did you see that with the correct call?
You know, I thought it was worth the challenge to go for it. They had said it was butt first, then the elbow, so one in, one out, and a bang-bang kind of movement as opposed to the elbow being out first. So we thought, you know, it was definitely worth taking a shot at in that space.
The decision, Dan, to go for 2 points on the touchdown, they made it 26-7. Why was that, at that moment, a good call?
I thought just at that space, you know, get it to where it goes up to, you know, three scores, you know, you're back to your, you know, normal spacing of points to go. So more just, you know, chart related to get the score going. Nothing too deeper than that on that one.
In prepping for this game, did you see anything on tape that allowed you to focus on the ball early with those three fumbles forced in the first 10 plays of the game?
You know, not one that was, you know, something that they showed, you know, poor ball security or anything in that space. I thought it was more in conjunction with the players really having a mindfulness for it. And it just felt early on in the game, you know, there were some bounces. There was a PBU. I think Ricardo had one that knocked it up in the air. So it just felt like they were really on it, taking shots. But it didn't feel like something that we saw from tape specifically.
Your pass coverage was pretty sharp in that first half, Dan, but kind of whittled a little bit in the second. What did you see from the coverages the defense was playing in the secondary to allow the Cowboy passing attack to have some success in that second half?
Yeah, I think both things. Both in the run game, they had a few, Zach, you know, from a, you know, success standpoint, and converting some third downs, you know, which allowed some drives to go. I don't know what the time of possession was in front of me today.
Yeah, the time of possession wasn't a matter. 570 yards, man. 570, 33 first downs. That's not getting it done. That is not getting it done at all on the defensive side of the ball. We're going to go with Calvin Ridley, go to Calvin Ridley here. And, you know, you all follow us on Twitter at DOrlandoAJC and the Falcons News Now page on Facebook. And, of course, go to AJC.com and bookmark your Falcons page for all your coverage throughout the week. Let's get some Calvin Ridley here. He's having quite a game, but you know, couple touchdown grabs, and but he was on that hands team too. He wished the ball had came his way.
On speed of that from someone on the team.
We just, it's the whole team's fault. I mean, we that's a loss for all of us. I mean, we all did something and we didn't do right. That's the reason they won. And you just gotta have faith in us and trust us that we're gonna, you know, come back and be stronger and a better team. And I believe in this team, and I believe that we are the better team. We are the better team.
Two touchdowns for you. What was your mindset kind of heading into the year and having that kind of production today?
Super Bowl. My mindset is help the team. If I'm helping the team and we, you know, whatever I can do for the win. I just want to win games and put the team in a position to go to the Super Bowl and playoffs. And if that's me catching 2-3 touchdowns a game, that's what I'll do.
I believe, just from scratching down numbers of who was on the onside kick, I believe you were on the sideline, but just kind of what's going through your mind when you watch that happen?
I was on the field on the onside.
Sorry about that.
It's just crazy. I wish it was my side. Uh, just can't believe it, man. We gotta get that. I wish it was me. I would have. I don't know. We take that as a group. We lost it as a group.
I've never seen an onside kick like that. But do you guys kind of go over that? And is the rule fall on it, even if it's kind of?
Yeah, I mean, you want to fall on it, but from what I looked at, the guys, I guess they didn't think it would go 10. So still, we got to learn from it. Now we know we got to go get on it right away.
Coach Quinn was under a lot of pressure already. How do you think these two losses might reflect on him and his future?
I don't think that has anything to do with it, because it's all players. I mean, we the ones that are playing. We got to go win. I mean, you got to be better.
There he is, Calvin Ridley, Falcons wide receiver, couple hundred yard games out of the gate. Yeah, that's it. We got it covered here. The Falcons dropped 2-0-2 on the season. 10.7 of the 149 teams that have done that have made the playoffs since 2002. So that's a big indicator here early in the season that, either they're going to have one of the great rebounds of all times or they're probably headed nowhere. The average is 6 wins and 10 losses for teams that start 0-2. So the Falcons, we're going to come back on next week. We'll get you ready for the Chicago Bears game. The Bears are 2-0, 17-14 win over the Giants. So with that, we're going to, we heard from Coach Dan Quinn, Julio Jones, and Calvin Ridley today on the Bowtie Chronicles. We're going to get out of here, and we'll come back next Wednesday with a preview of the Chicago Bears.
In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over 4 decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have a different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.
Hip-hop is a product of black people. It's a product of black song and celebration.
The Atlanta Journal-Constitution presents
hip-hop's most pulled elements are pulled from the South.
A Southern hip-hop story.
We always go back to that moment of the Source Awards.
Everybody wants your rhythm, but they don't want your blues.
The biggest names in hip-hop.
Atlanta is still the mecca for hip-hop.
50 years.
No one can deny.
One film.
The power of the South now.
The South got something to say. Streaming now at AJC.com/hip-hop.